Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Urban agriculture in Milwaukee has attracted plenty of attention in some circles, but a Milwaukee-based literacy organization is hoping to introduce young people to organizations such as Growing Power and the movement they're a part of.
Sharp Literacy works primarily with urban school students and uses the visual arts as a way to stimulate literacy skills. The organization has published a series of children's books it uses in its efforts. The newest is called There Grows the Neighborhood, Agriculture in the City.
Sharp Literacy President and CEO Linda Kohler is with us in the studio, along with author Michael Carrier. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
This is the 12th book in this series, the We Love to Learn series. What is the story of this series of books? How does it fit in with the broader mission of Sharp Literacy?
Sure. Sharp Literacy, our mission is to energize urban school children to be more confident, capable readers, writers, and researchers. And one of the ways that we accomplish our mission is by publishing and writing We Love to Learn books, which this is the 12th book, and it's There Grows the Neighborhood, Agriculture in the City. And we usually publish about one book a year, and we always start at least a year and a half, planning what our next book is going to be about. And as we were talking over a year ago, we're thinking, what would be relevant? What's the buzz right now?
And right. What are some of the other topics you've covered in these books?
Sure. We have the one that was released 2 years ago is about a salmon, and it's our second grade curriculum. So it talks about weather and water and pollution and the Great Lakes. The other book, our 10th book, is on a busy bee. So it's all about it's a science curriculum for first graders, so bee pollination and the importance of honeybees. We had a great book that was published a couple years ago on Pat the Great Cat, which is a story of Pat from the Milwaukee Zoo and his journey from Belize to Milwaukee, where he is now a part of, in the Milwaukee Zoo and has had a couple sets of twins. So a wide variety of books and topics. We also have a book on bullying and some real live experiences that Milwaukee kids have experienced. And the one thing about our books, too, is that we do have people that write the book. However, our students that participate in the SHARP program are the ones that really do the research on the book.
Right. That was going to be a question I had. It seems like one of the keys here is not just to create these books, but to involve the kids who are in SHARP literacy programs in the creation of the book, if you will.
Exactly. And that's what we did with this book. And Mike can talk a little bit about some of the young authors' workshops that he facilitated. But we also did include – we had 13 of our schools that did the research, helped with the research of the book, as well as a school over in China and a Gary Comer in Chicago.
Well, and so, Mike, where do you enter the picture in this?
Sure. Well, I'm not a children's book author by trade. I'm a college professor and a historian. But over the past few years, I've gotten involved with urban agriculture in the city. First from sort of a position of getting my engineering students interested, engaged in real-world projects. But then sort of my own academic work began to focus on the history of urban agriculture in Milwaukee. I got more and more involved, and I guess when the time came to find someone to write this book, somehow my name came up. And I jumped at the chance to be able to bring this message to young people who usually aren't a part of that conversation was really great.
Making things relevant for college students is one thing. It must have been something of a stretch for you to figure out how to do this for an audience that's somewhat younger.
It was. And I think for me that was one of the values, speaking selfishly, of these young authors workshops, where I really did just sort of use those as listening sessions. I would sit down and talk with them and get sort of the way that they engage with one another, the language they were using. And I can really say that that informed the way I wrote this book. I have a 10-year-old daughter, so I have some sense of how children engage with one another. But just getting to sit down for 45, 50 minutes and really just listening to these children was amazing.
You mentioned the other books were aimed, for example, specifically at a second-grade curriculum or a first-grade curriculum. What is the age group that you're shooting for with this book?
This book will be used in our third-grade curriculum. So it's for about 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds. However, the book is not just for children. It's a wealth of information from the storyline to the informational text, different boxes in the books that have to do with vertical gardens and planting your own garden and recipes. So it is. It will be utilized in our SHARP program next year for the third grade.
What made you like the idea of framing this as a mystery rather than a straightforward, you know, history of the urban agriculture movement?
Well, I like the idea of presenting the young people with sort of a chapter book, the idea of them being able to follow this narrative and being able to sort of play with the idea of time and place and just giving it sort of a hook that wasn't just – the last thing I wanted to do with this book was do a how-to for urban agriculture. Not that that isn't valuable, but the idea of making this exciting and also the idea of these young people being able to sort of imagine themselves in the future. I think one of the interesting things with this project was it got the students talking about what they wanted to do with their lives because they would sort of hear this narrative of taking place in the year 2042 and they sort of had to think about, well, where am I going to be at that point? And so it really allowed them, I think, the creativity to think not only about how they could contribute to the story, but kind of their own stories. And that was, I think, the bottom line was that I wanted them to imagine their futures.
Well, and I thought that was one of the interesting aspects to this is that it's set in 2042, but most of the characters that these young people who drive the story meet are thinking back on where they were in 2014 and what they wanted to do with their lives
right,
then.
Right. And that was kind of the way to get them to understand that what they do now has implications for the future, whether it be in terms of their own education, but also in terms of the history of Milwaukee or even in the history of things like agriculture, that they can have a role in that.
And that presumably speaks pretty heavily to one of the things that SHARP Literacy is interested in doing when you talk about energizing these kids.
Absolutely. And I was able to observe a couple of Mike's young authors workshops and just to see the excitement and the engagement. And it was really interesting for me, too, to see the different – we did it in the different quadrants of the city, so north, east, west, and south side of the city, and just to kind of see how different what somebody, a student in on the south side would put in their garden versus a student in the north side or south side, east or west side. So it was, and just to see them and, you know, work together, as Mike said, was just really heartwarming. It was really, you could see our mission in working.
How did you happen to bring in the help of a school in China?
With one of our partners, Brady Corp, as we were talking, one of our board members, and we were talking about what the next book is, and she thought that would be a great partnership. We always try to have some type of an international component to our books. So this was a perfect fit, and there's actually even a couple pages of the school and the photos and even in Mandarin.
Well, you also had the cooperation of Will Allen, I gather?
Yes, absolutely. Will was really our inspiration for this, and I think a lot of times our missions overlap, where Will is really interested and engaged in helping urban school children learn more about eating healthy and just overall urban agriculture. So he played a big part in this book as well.
Well, even as someone who is already working on the history of urban agriculture in Milwaukee, did you find there were surprises that came to you as you researched this book?
Yeah, and I think for me the most fascinating one was this relationship between agriculture and culture. And not that I wasn't aware of that before going in, but getting to interview Will a few times and him making these very explicit connections between food, agriculture, access to food, and civil rights, and just sort of then placing his relationship with agriculture within a longer narrative of African American history. And so for me, particularly when dealing with a school district that is predominantly children of color, this idea of seeing someone who shares perhaps their histories, who looks like them, and seeing someone who's become now a MacArthur Genius Fellow was really important. So for me, it was sort of being able to make those connections and to connect those dots in a way that in an abstract way I understood, but being able to use almost sort of this character of Will, for lack of a better term, to help make those connections really real.
How does the power of art fit in this dynamic? This is, you know, there's a lot of text to this book, but there are obviously a lot of images as well.
Right. And the images are a little bit different than what we normally – our books usually include kind of a whimsical children's feel. But this is more of that kind of edgy graffiti, which really – tells it fits in so well with with our the story of the book. We had a great illustrator, Paul Kalin, who just has done it with stencils and black and white, and so it's just a little bit different. And as well, what went with the book is a mural that will be placed at Miller Park permanently once the season starts, and that was called the Movable Feast. So we had a school that participated in actually the creation of this beautiful mural with portraits of Will Allen and Hank the Dog and Ryan Braun. So they had we had a group of students and a group of special needs students that worked together, and that's kind of where that art fit in too. And it's just a spectacular mural, and again, like the Young Authors Workshop, just to see these kids work together and see this creation at the end of the 4 months it's incredible.
You mentioned Ryan Braun and Miller Park. The Brewers Community Foundation is a big supporter of this.
Absolutely, and I can't thank them enough. They were the funder of this book, the Brewers Community Foundation and the Brewer Wives, and we couldn't do something like this without their support, and then Ryan and Larissa with their support for the mural.
One is also struck when, it's a really interesting form. It's a very large format book with a lot going on. And one of the things going on is that the text is not just in English, but in Spanish as well.
Correct. All of our books, the majority of our books have been written both in English and Spanish. And we feel that it's really important to have that component into it because Sharp right now, we serve over 7,000 students a year from grades K-5 through fifth grade. And about 50% of our students are Hispanic. So even though the schools, a lot of our schools don't teach the students in Spanish, it's English as their first language, the parental component of it. So when they get home, they can read the book to the parents. The parents can read to that. And that's a big part of our mission as well, is to get the parents involved. And if they see their parents reading, hopefully that they'll see that's pretty cool to do, and they'll pick that up as well.
Well, and nice that kids would be in a position where they can discuss the books they're reading with their parents, regardless of their parents' proficiency in English.
Right. And we do give each student a book. So we're kind of helping them build their library, too.
Is your audience exclusively kids who are in Sharp literacy programs, or is there a hope that this will attract a wider readership?
Oh, absolutely. We would love to have this book. It's available at sharpliteracy.org as well as Amazon. But our hope is to get this book. It's a one-of-a-kind book. We're not sure that there's another book like this.
The number of children's books about the history of urban agriculture in Milwaukee is fairly small.
Fairly small, yes. Not even just in Milwaukee, but even in regionally and throughout the United States.
Well, it's interesting stuff. And Linda, Mike, thank you both for sharing it with us.
Thank you. Well,
thanks for having us.
Linda Kohler is president and CEO of the Milwaukee-based organization Sharp Literacy. Michael Carrier is an associate professor at the Milwaukee School of Engineering, and he's the author of the new book, There Grows the Neighborhood, Agriculture in the City. You'll find a link to more information about it at WUWM.com.
Coming up next, a one-person play with no rehearsal, no director, no set, and a different actor each night. It sounds like an actor's nightmare, but it is, in fact, the Wisconsin premiere of White Rabbit, Red Rabbit. We'll learn more about it when Lake Effect returns on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.